Cardinals Corner from Arizona Sports. Cardinals Corner from Arizona Sports with Tyler Drake and Lauren Koval.
What's going on, everybody? Tyler Drake and Lauren Koval here with Cardinals Corner. But I know you guys don't want to listen to us. We brought a very, very, very special guest in today. The one, the only, Paris Johnson Jr. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. How's just plain and simple. How's the offseason going for you, man?
Awesome. Awesome. I've spent some time, had a chance to go down to Rio.
Okay.
I also had some time to go out to California for a little bit, and I've been starting to train here for the majority of the time. So it's been cool being able to spend my first offseason a little around the world a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that you enjoy spending some time down in Rio. How's your Portuguese coming along?
Good. I think for me, I've kind of gotten to the space where I can kind of say what I need to say, even though my conjugations aren't going to be perfect. I think just being down there, being able to order stuff, being able to say what I want has gotten easier for me. But being able to, I guess, hear the real live speed of someone down there versus when I hear it at home. Like when I talk to my girl, two different speeds because she slows it down for me.
Okay.
But when I'm down there, it's like, and then I look at her like, what'd he say? So I can formulate what to say back. So that's kind of how it goes. But for me, it works out. It's all fun. You know, without her, I wouldn't have probably ate a meal down there. They were speaking no English, but that's kind of, you know, the vibe you want down there.
Did you have anybody kind of look at you weird, like, oh man, you just said something back to me like that?
I think for the most part, I think everyone kind of saw me and they came up to me trying to speak English to me.
Oh, okay.
So everyone tried to speak English to me and then I'd be like, no. Eu falo português. Eu não falo inglês. And they'd be like, we don't believe you, right? So, and then I try to say I'm from some place or something as a joke, but they wouldn't believe me. There was only like one time where as soon as they got on a plane back from Brazil, coming back to New York, and then someone came up to me asking for a question straight, like all the way in Portuguese, and I just smiled at her and I was impressed. I'm like, oh, she really thought I was Brazilian. And I was like, that's cool, because everyone my height, people were like, oh, you kind of look like you could be, but you're way too big.
Yeah,
you're way too big to be Brazilian. Like, but I try to play the part.
nice.
That's got to be a huge compliment, though. Somebody comes up to you and starts speaking Portuguese.
Yes. That means they fully believed it, and I was okay. It's kind of working. I was wearing a soccer jersey. I'm like, it's working.
Did you get recognized by anybody?
No. Down there, I think that's kind of the cool thing, is that like down there, like, you know, to them, they don't really care as much about American football as compared, you know, down there with soccer, you know. But I think the cool thing about Brazil is that the love for football is definitely starting to grow. You know, so I think for me personally, I would love to start kind of building that continual relationship in Brazil and in Rio, just because, again, I know the game's going to start to grow, especially once you know, the game next year with the Dolphins. Not Dolphins, I think the Eagles down there.
Yep.
I forget they're playing, but to start that, because their fans are passionate.
Yeah.
So it's passionate. So that's a cool kind of fan base to be able to tap into.
Rowdy house.
Oh, yeah. They go crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Definitely. Well, aside from your world travels, have you been able to kind of get a better lay of the land out here in Arizona? Have you gotten any cool spots, anything that really stuck out to you this offseason?
Yeah, I have. I've really been trying to get into the food spots down here, because I stay in Chandler, so I'm still trying to learn if there's some food spots around there. But there's a spot down in like Phoenix called Glibon.
Okay.
Are you familiar with
it?
That place is legendary. I'm kind of scared I even said it on here because it's already busy already. I don't need to make it more busy. I wish it was more of a low key spot just for me, because it's hard to get a table. But Glibon is amazing.
Hey, maybe the extra promotions you might.
Oh yeah, hopefully I get a table now. Oh, it's super hard, but I've just been trying to get into some food spots, going on TikTok, going to Instagram.
Okay.
I heard of a place called Duke's. You see on Instagram the chicken spot.
Yep.
I haven't gone over there yet, but like, it's trying to find those kind of cool spots.
Yeah, and it seems like more and more are popping up. Chandler's a good central spot to be in, man. Mm-hmm. I used to live out there before I went to Santan Valley, and yeah, felt like it's close to really everything. You can kind of get anywhere in about 15-20 if you needed
to.
Yeah, that's big.
Is there like a go-to cuisine for you?
I would say, are you talking about like something that I'm like at home or something that I like go get?
Something we could do both. We could do both. Yeah.
I say as far as at home, I eat a lot of tacos and stuff at home. Make some tacos at home. But as far as like if I'm going to Uber Eats, probably the first thing I click on is like Dave's Hot Chicken.
Okay.
Or Chan Thai. It's like a Thai spot. It's not too far from me. But I love to go to like Steak 44. That's my spot. I spent way too much there over my career. Like we used to, me and my family this past year, after every game, the first couple of games, we went there as a family. Mm-hmm. Every time I was, we need some fun to do as a family. And then after a while, I had to switch up to a spot in Chandler. Yeah. Just a little piece bunch. Yeah. I was like, that's not sustainable.
Did you get the beignet tree though?
I've got that once. Yes. I've got that once, but I usually go there and I got the Wagyu tomahawk. It's like 40 ounces, like including the bone. And like, I was like, man, like, you know, I don't really spend a lot of money on a whole bunch of other stuff, but I will spend money on food. Food and travel are my two things I like to kind of indulge in. But then I started to look at my little app and I was like, Dave's Hot Chicken. You know, Dave's Hot Chicken's been good too. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, man. Aside from the food, aside from the travel, what have you been really working on this offseason? What are you trying to get better at?
Yeah, so I think for me, just continuing to work on my balance, being able to work on my eyes, hands, really getting some hand stuff this offseason with boxing. I've spent a lot of time doing. I've been preparing, you know, really, you know, because I'm not sure what side completely that I'll be ended up playing at, mm-hmm. but just continuing to have that balance, getting used to both legs, being my front leg, my dominant leg, being able to readjust my eyes, readjust what hand is my dominant hand.
Yeah.
You know, left tackle, left hand, right tackle, keep kind of the same way I did this past season.
Yeah.
So just make kind of putting myself in that mode. This time I was during the combine process, pro day last year, when I didn't know what side I'd be on, trying to work both sides. So kind of doing that, but at definitely more efficient level.
How nice is it just to not have to deal with, I guess, the draft prep this time around? Like, you can just focus really on football and getting better in that aspect.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to focus on just the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Focus on myself, focus on how can this offseason bring the offensive line together and get back together in April,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus figuring out, should I run a 40? Should I do this?
Yeah. Cone drill.
And then, you know, a cone drill, and then I'm hopping on the board and doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So it's just much better just focusing on, okay, how can I make that jump in year two?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says it's so important, you know.
Is there a side that you would, I guess, prefer? I know you've played both, versatile dude, but is there one that you would kind of, you know, if they said, hey, this is your side, you're fully in?
I think for me personally, like, I always I feel like I always say, and I've, you know, when I talk to the team, it's more like, I want you to put me where best influence the team.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like this past season it was a right tackle.
Yep.
I'm held down the left tackle for 9 years, you know, and that's my dog. That is my big brother for life, you know. And but now I feel like with things that have happened, it may be that the best thing for a team for me to go to left,
mm-hmm.
or to stay right,
mm-hmm.
or like I've always said, be free safety, strong safety, whatever. Yeah. I'm flexible. You know what I
Running
mean?
Back.
So for me, that's just that's just my thing. Is that like, for me, I feel like when they tell me where I'm at, that's where I'm going to work.
Okay.
I'm going to work to be the best I can at it instead of just trying to mentally say, I'm only this, I'm only this, I'm only this.
Mm-hmm.
When they say that's where they want me, that's where I want to go to go play at.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to dominate that spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's stick with Hump a little bit. Just thoughts on that release. Obviously, like you said, 9 years was a huge part of the organization since really 2015. Obviously gave you a lot of advice, praise when you first came into the building. Just thoughts on that. Were you surprised? And what kind of impact did he have on you?
Yeah, honestly, I've only known Hump since I got here in April. But I feel like I've known him for 9 years he's been here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I feel like you can't really say that about a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, I literally feel like he's, like, legit, like, part of my family. Like, I've known him.
That's awesome.
For a long time, you know? So, for me personally, like, you know, I'm talking to him, I understand that this is a business.
Yep.
You know, it's a $1 billion business. You know, that's the industry we're in. But at the same time, on a personal level, like, hurts.
Yeah.
You know, so for me it definitely hurt. And obviously, I know he, you know, he's going to continue to rehab and he's going to continue to get right. But I would have loved to feel it, you know, been in the building with me, you know, be able to continue to talk with him, learn from him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just continue to learn from him. I know I'll continue to talk to him and learn from him. Yeah. Either way, you know, I'm going to be bugging him even more, pulling up on his house. You know what I mean? I already got the address. So
yep.
You know what I mean? But yeah, though, so for me, I kind of wish that wouldn't have happened. But I understand, you know, he told me that comes with the game. You know?
Yeah. What, I guess, just if you can give us a little bit, how was he doing last time you talked to him? Spirits good? Rehab going good?
Good. You know, obviously, you know, he's been a Cardinal his whole life. But I think for me, like, he's very professional about how he handles everything, you know, and just positive.
Okay.
And, you know, I feel like for him, it's like also trying to stay strong for other people in a way, too.
Yeah.
Also, because, like, you know, I don't necessarily know, you know, when he's by himself, what he's thinking about. When he's around me, though, it's always that positivity that, man, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
You just focus on, like, as, like, a, you know, fit. That's, like, something happens in your family. That's how you kind of talk to the people, like, in a way, just trying to show that positivity constantly. And that's kind of how he's been every time I talk to him. Because you would have thought I was getting released when I was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Because I felt like, you know, we were competing every day in practice together. We would be talking about things in practice and whatever, like, all the time, hopping on the game together. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's definitely kind of, it's going to be different without him.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure, man.
You know, he's always positive.
What's the biggest advice that he gave you? Biggest piece of advice or biggest, I guess, learning moment for you with him?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for me is that since we kind of play, I guess, like, the way we play with our feet are kind of the same. So I think continuing to seeing myself, okay, like, Hump is like a version of me 9 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to teach me, okay, like, let me teach you what I'm learning, what I learned year 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in your first year. So year two, I'm already kind of moving on to what's next step? Because he said, like, you know, for him, you know, he didn't always have a lot of people showing him the way.
Yep.
When he first came to Arizona, it was kind of like that classic NFL, like, you're a young guy, I'm a vet, I don't want to take my spot, I'm not going to teach you. But Hump was always like, hey, like, the best people are going to play. You know, and the Cardinals have brought in a whole bunch of people to try to replace me, and I've all taught them, and they're not here right now.
Yep.
You know, that was always his thing.
Yep.
So he's like, you know, I'm going to teach you everything. So, like, if you can't find everywhere, you know what I mean? So he's always, I mean, from little things like stance to how I load up in my stance to how I may attack a certain defensive end, always ran everything by him.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, it seems like, I mean, just from what I could tell you guys, obviously we're in lockstep with each other, so definitely tough loss. I do have a very random one. Who are you going to do the mask on celebration with?
Oh my gosh. You know.
Are you retiring it?
I honestly may have to retire it.
Oh, okay.
I honestly may have to retire it because that was like, but I kind of need, like, that was part of my routine before I took the field. So it's kind of like a mental thing for me. Like, even that last game, like, I took the field, I just sort of just ran out there. And I felt weird just to, like, you know, because everybody else does, you know, you wave for the kick and then take the field. Weird just to run out there.
Yeah.
Not do that. So I'll kind of have to figure something out, but I might have to retire that.
And go with something new.
Thing, and I have to create something
okay.
new.
Okay.
I have to do.
Okay.
How did it feel for you? I know that DJ came out right before the season started. He was so excited about you. He was so excited that the Cardinals had an opportunity to draft you. What did it feel like to know that you immediately had an advocate in somebody in that lineman room?
Oh, I mean, I feel like that's what you want. You know, you want an older guy that you can feel like, you know what, like, I know he respects me. Like, I know he's coming from a place of love, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's a guy, it's easier to take the good things from him and also things you need to work on, right? Because you know he's coming from a place of, like, respect, you know what I mean? So, and he's always had good energy. So for me, like, as soon as I'm coming in, I want to come in and I want to be a good teammate. I want to be a guy that guys can look up to as a a leader of the team, I never wanted to come with the mentality like, look at me, it's my show now. I didn't want to do that year one coming in the room. And I feel like sometimes when you're a high pick, people might believe that that's your instantly going to make everything about you. And I feel like offensive line is kind of unique where you're the leader of the offense, but it's not all about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's my me being about me is like I'm worried about him. It's about James Conner. It's yeah. about mm-hmm. Kyle Murray.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, Hollywood. It's about these guys, right? So, yeah, so I figured when I came in and I was just like received by like him and so received by like Will Hernandez.
Yeah.
You know, being able to talk to Beach a lot more, like the older guys in the room, I feel like that was okay. Like they know I'm here to work, I'm here to earn the respect. You know, I'm talking to Yeldy, he's been in years, he's mm-hmm. been in the league for years. I was instantly received by the front five.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was like, okay. I wasn't like having to prove to them like, oh, I'm cool too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I'm here to work.
You showed
just
it.
Like you guys. I want to keep the standard. I want to keep the standard, and I want the standard as our room to elevate so we can be a respected offensive line unit.
Yep.
I want to keep the goals the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not here to just make it about Paris Johnson Shaw.
Yeah.
How come this O-line be?
And how know? Do you think that O-line room is going to change without him?
Yeah. So. One, the energy in the meeting room with him is I will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like me and him were just like kind of similar energy, so we just like kept building. You know, as we started talking, just kept building because we were like kind of the same person. Yeah, I feel like without him in the room, it's definitely going to be time for me to again be able to be that guy in the room,
mm-hmm.
not just on the field, but also that energy in the room, mm-hmm. too. Like in the meeting room, when you've been in meetings too long, and you get like a 5 minute break, and just that energy, the guy in the room, like makes you not even think about you sitting in the same seat for a while, you know. So, mm-hmm. Like Hunt made my year go by so fast. Hunt made his rookie year go by fast. I'm just always talking to him about everything. So I want to be able to do that for the next person. Being able to be the hump for somebody else
mm-hmm.
is passing the game along. So whoever's next in the room, being able to be that for them.
Yep.
In a way, you know?
Yeah.
How important do you think it is now that you take that elevated leadership role?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everything. I know it's why I was brought here. You know, I was brought here to take over a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just want to go about it the right way. You know, I want to continue to earn the respect of my teammates. You know, I know I earned it this past season, mm-hmm. but, you know, has to be continually re-earned. So I got to re-earn it this offseason, OTAs, re-earn in training camp, preseason, all of that. So it's continual. So I just want to continue to, like, now, okay, I started to pull off. But now it's like, now I have to accelerate now to be in that official, like, the capacity of a leader. You know, so that's my goals with how I'm trying to work this off season, so I can officially take that official step to being one of the guys on the team that's like, okay, he's going to take us in the battle, and I know I can look at him and be that guy. Because that was Hunt, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we need that for this next season.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I've watched him do it. I'm continuing to talk to him about it, but, like, I want to be that. You know, in the offensive line room, you know, that's ultimately one of my goals, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you, what was your biggest, I guess, goal for the season? And it sounds like that's among the top right mm-hmm. there. Is that, I mean, what, outside of that, is there anything else? I know you said just improving your balance, handwork, footwork, all that. But just looking back at your season in review, how would you grade yourself and just what is the next step for you?
Yeah, I think the next step for me is I feel like kind of like your goal when you're in high school and you're dominant is that you kind of want to turn college football. You kind of want your college football, the level of your game to match how intense your high school highlights were.
Like, okay.
You want to turn that college into high school.
Yeah.
I want to turn the NFL into college.
Gotcha.
So I think that's the next step is being able to same type of blocks I was able to make in the run game, the same kind of stonewall I was able to do in college consistently. Each and every game, that same standard. I want that to happen this next season, and I think that's the standard. You kind of want to bring it down a level if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of want to bring that down a level to like, you turn on the college highlights and the NFL highlights, and you're going to see exact same thing, but now I'm older and I'm stronger, so now it's going to look even better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal for this next season. Once I get to that consistently week and week and week after week, that's pretty dangerous. You know what I mean? You want to turn into that.
Yeah.
You're going to continue to be that same guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel like you need to get bigger in a sense or just stronger? What's the next phase? I know a lot of rookies, when they go into this offseason, you actually have the time to actually prepare for the NFL season. Like what we talked about, draft preps a little.
Mm-hmm.
Takes pretty much the whole offseason, it seems like. So is there just – where are you trying to get to with just your strength and your weight?
Yeah, so this past season, I was anywhere between like 318 and 320. This next season, I might play somewhere between 320 – maybe 322, 325 max.
Okay.
I'm kind of exploring.
Yeah.
You know, I want everything to be natural.
Yeah.
You know, like I was talking to Lane Johnson before his past season. He was like, the weight over his career grew steady.
Okay.
You know, so I'm kind of trying to match that, trying to grow in that same kind of fashion.
Yeah.
As far as my weight, because I'm naturally like a lighter tackle.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I've always been my career. Now I'm 320. You can't really say that's light anymore.
No.
You can't really say that's light anymore.
I wouldn't say it.
But I've naturally, like before, I got the college at 280. You know, I've naturally been just thought that was heavy. I've just naturally kind of been on the lighter end. So now just starting to come into that, continue to add weight and to see how that works. Because obviously now that I have time to explore. You don't have time to explore that in the draft.
No.
Draft
no.
process. But now I have time to explore that extent, you know. But, you know, I think in terms of strength, like, I have the strength. I have the speed. Now, all that continue to grow, like, that's something you got to keep re-earning that strength, yep. speed, and all that. But I think the cool thing is starting to learn the difference between, I mean, like, everyone in the NFL is pretty strong.
Yeah.
But about how are you using it? How are you being efficient? How are you – is that punch coming from your tricep or is that coming from your back?
Gotcha.
Is that coming from your back?
Yeah.
Are you firing your quads? Are you firing your glutes? Like, mm-hmm. what – like, that's the stuff I'm wearing this off season. Like, they didn't think about it like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, kind of the small things.
Okay.
The small things. I feel like that's kind of the – thing that's going to make the difference right now. So that way I can sort of tap into the complete potential of my strength. Like you have a lot of, that's what you see a lot of guys, that like they're strong in the weight room,
mm-hmm.
but it never translates mm-hmm. on Sundays. So how can I make that translate?
Yeah.
You know, the functional movements and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a different prep process for you in terms of that strength and that weight development between playing left tackle or playing right tackle? Is there a different prep process for you?
I don't really think so. And again, that might be something that I find out once we get in the OTAs. Right now, I'm just doing some drills and stuff on my own. But I think it's really just takes time and reps. I think just the difference in going to left to right or like right to left. It's just taking time with your reps.
Yeah.
To switch your domino leg, you know, switch your hands. I think it just takes reps, take time. And I think after a while it kind of transitions because the good thing is the technique from left to right tackle stays the same.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be bigger to go from like right tackle to left guard. You know, because now your technique is going to change. Now your rules may change.
Mm-hmm.
First, the rules from right tackle to left tackle stay the same. It's about now, can I flip my mind to apply those rules on the left side? So if I like my shoulder in a certain way, how can I get used to flipping that shoulder now when I'm on the left side? You know, just the little things I like to add in that right tackle. How may I adjust that left tackle?
Yeah.
Those just things takes reps to where it just feels like that's always been a norm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the season, I know we talked to Cardinals, but I got to ask you, man, did you expect C.J. Stroud to do what he did?
I did. Completely. Yeah. I completely. I mean, that's who he is.
Okay.
You know, he's a leader. And I think it was natural for, you know, the Texans to rally around him. You know, it's something offensive line, but I don't usually do this. But I saw online like a quarterback. I mean, not a quarterback. I saw CJ. I saw him. Like, he had the whole like receiver unit at UCLA.
Okay.
You know, right after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing all the routes and stuff on there at UCLA. So right away, he's already starting to work with them. And so before they even got in the training camp, before they got anything. So thought that was kind of cool to see. There's a small thing that I noticed that I picked up is, okay, that's going to translate in season.
Mm-hmm.
First, for me, it's different than, you know, me and Will Hernandez fly to UCLA, take some sets. You know what I mean? like that, you know, like, that is kind of different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel it's just kind of different.
Yeah.
You know, I never have to throw the ball to Will and see, you know, kind of feel him out, whatever. Like, where it's going to set our angles, we're going to do it, we're going to communicate. You know, so for us doing that, like the equivalent of us doing that is like going to get some food together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the exact equivalent. So, but when I see him do stuff like that, you know, he knows how well that translates, you know, and even though he's a young guy, what, 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming to Ohio State, fit, they kind of train us to come in like at a professional level, like this is how it is in the league. You know, the guys who play early, this is what they do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Ohio State, there is a very big wide receiver prospect heading into the draft named Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes, yes.
And the Cardinals have the fourth pick.
Yes.
And I will tell you right now, man, there is not one player that's been mocked more to the Cardinals in mock drafts, and I know it's mock drafts, than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
I just got to get your take, man. You played with him for 2 years, I believe. What was that like? How is he? How much of a game changer can he be?
I truly think he's the best receiver I've seen at Ohio State. With my own two eyes.
Okay.
The best receiver I've seen. And I feel like, and again, like, I was there with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, and I was there with Jackson. And all those guys are ridiculous receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like you can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can't.
If you have any one of them on your team, you're like,
well.
Yes. You know what I mean? But I feel like just for him, and I think that's what made him so special, is that he's surrounded by already elite NFL talent guys. So when you see him walking the door as a freshman and he's able to operate, move like them, you're like, okay, he might be that guy too, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, he's also like 6'4", like 215. Like, you're like, what? And like, for me, like, I'm not watching his routes and how crisp the route. I'm not seeing any of that, you know? I only see the catch, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
After I'm locking my, you know, it was college, I'm locking my gut, I'm just looking like, oh, shoot, what did he just do? You know what I mean? So, like, I'm just seeing, like, in the weight room, like, we're doing a bench press, and like, it's like first day on campus, and he like knocks out like 18 reps. It's a truth, like, just enrolled. I'm like, yeah, dude's on the O-line hit, like, it's nine. You know what I mean? He had eight. I was like, so for me, he gained respect for me.
Yeah.
I didn't even, I have to see a route. And then, like, the Indiana game, when everyone's seen the catch, like, that one catch where his leg was this way, foot was that way, and he caught it like that. I seen that, and I was like, yeah, he's number one pick. Like, in my mind, he deserves being, you know, number one pick. Just because of stuff. And he doesn't talk. He doesn't get up and do the crazy celebration.
Okay.
He hands the ball to the ref and goes.
Okay.
You know, I just the way he works.
Sounds like Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, he works. That's why I respect him so much. Like, I'll come in at like 6 in the morning to eat. I'm thinking I'm getting ahead. I'm just that guy. I'm first guy in the building.
Yeah.
I came here just to eat, just first guy. You know, lift doesn't start till 8. But he'll already be in there doing the routes. He'll have another receiver in there, like, to work the jug machine.
Yeah.
He's already in there sweating. I'm like, dang, I ain't doing nothing. 6 a.m., he in the sweat. I'm like, we got to lift at 8. I'm conserving my energy, yo. Coach Mix about to get after it. But he's already doing the routes. Like, that's just how he works. So I've always respected, like, that work that nobody else sees, only a few people see.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you think that really is what separates him from everybody else?
It's the work that you don't see.
Okay.
You know, it's the work that you don't see. And again, I think that kind of separates him apart. Now, again, like, for me, like, I did a lot of work that nobody else saw, too. But maybe it was at, like, 2 p.m. or 4 p.m., 5 p.m. You know, he's, like, 6 a.m. And then I'll see on Instagram, I'll be back in my room. I'll be back in my apartment. And, like, there's an Instagram story at, like, 9 p.m., him and Kyle McCord and indoor runner routes. And I'm like,
Round two.
I'm not in there at 9 p.m. You know what I mean? I might be in there till 6.
Yeah.
I might start something at 7. But from, like, 6 a.m., that's Marv. You know what I mean? That's Marv hours.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's Marv hours.
You know what I mean? So that's why I've always had just different kind of respect for him, because, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Have you thrown out a pitch to Monty at all?
Oh, I've been talking to – I mean, I feel like the whole world knows he's the best receiver in the draft, you know? But it's funny because, like, right when I got drafted, I literally went – to Marvin, and I was like, dude, you know you're a Cardinal, right? Like, I knew he was going to be a Cardinal because I saw what happened with D-Hop.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, Cardinal's probably going to win another 6'4 receiver, you know what I mean? I don't know how tall D-Hop is. I assume he's pretty tall.
Yeah, he's
you know, just off of Madden, you know, I just throw it up to him, pitch triangle, it's over with. Yeah. So, just throw it up, you know? So I'm like, dude, like, I have a feeling like he'll probably be a Cardinal. So I've always said that, but, I mean, I think everybody – knows, you know, I try not to even get into what goes on upstairs.
Yeah.
I just let them do what they do.
What was his reaction when you said that to him?
Marvin?
Yeah.
Oh, he said he wanted to be a Cardinal.
Really?
He said he wanted to be a Cardinal, you know? But, which again, like, I believe him, but again, like, you know, if I was going into my junior year in college and someone's like, hey, like,
yeah,
I would say
to everybody.
I want to be a Texan. I want to be
exactly.
Dude, you're gonna say you know what I mean? You're gonna say So you know, it's kind of like, you know, in the process of talking to a team, like, you want to be here, and you're like, yes, I do.
Yes.
What big do you guys have? Yes, I do. You know what I mean? So it's kind of
but coming like, from you, though, it probably meant a little more.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Just knowing that, you know, Cardinal.
For
potential
sure.
Potential future Cardinal.
You know, and there's not a lot of Ohio State guys.
No.
You know, so I think to have a guy like him and just know the way he works, he's a good culture guy. So when people ask me about him, everybody knows the highlight tape. I don't have to go over the highlight tape.
Yep.
I just talk about, like, I think he's a good culture guy.
Yeah.
Just have around, you know.
For sure.
If he ends up on the Cardinals, what kind of impact do you think he can have day one for this team?
Yep.
Day one, you know, I don't know a lot about receivers, but I think he's going to be the one X receiver. Throw it up. He's down there somewhere. That's his impact. Like,
okay.
You know, I think, again, he's the type of guy where I think he'll start want to bring people along to these 6 a.m., things, 9 p.m. things. By the time he gets here in the summer, it'll be hot. So he really can only do it at 6 a.m. or 9 p.m. Because he's doing it at 4 p.m., he's going to get killed by the sun.
Yep.
So Marvin's hours are changing.
Marvin hours would be, you know, very crucial. You know, but I think he's one of those guys, like he's going to want to bring people along to do the, you know, 7-on-7 on-air stuff. You know what I mean? Players only, just drill, stuff like that. I can see him just starts with a guy. Let me start a guy who wants to stay on the jug machine with me for a little bit. And then let's get two more guys come. And then I think that's the type of guy he is, because he's not really like he doesn't really talk a lot. You know, he's very like low-key. Guys kind of keeps himself. But again, like, when I was at College of Marvin, like, I don't think I heard more than, like, 10 words. You know what I mean?
All business.
But clearly, you know, he's talking, because now one day it was just him and one other guy. Then it's the entire wide receiver room one day. I'm watching it grow from the cafeteria glass. I'm watching it grow. I've seen it grow to the all the wide receivers are there. Then all the instead of the jug machine, the quarterbacks are showing up 4 or 5 deep. Even the walk-on quarterbacks to give reps to do that. And I'm seeing him, it was just him by himself, and he programmed the jug machine where somebody had to work it.
Yeah,
like he had a program where he just ran his right, and it was just on the timer. Like, so I think for me, I think that's the type of guy is just starting to bring other people along.
Yeah.
With him, you know.
That's crazy. Is there anybody else in the draft that has kind of caught your eye?
I mean, I've looked at all the offensive linemen. I look at all the defensive linemen. I'm familiar with a lot of them. Olu, Penn State, Joe Alt, Notre Dame, JC down in Alabama, Chop Robinson.
Dude,
that's my guy, Penn State.
Off at the combine.
I got to tell you a story about Chop.
Okay.
So Chop Robinson, my junior year at Ohio State, Chop just transferred from Maryland to Penn State. That's his first year at Penn State.
Yeah.
And we're watching film. And at this time, like, he wasn't the starter. He, like, rotated in. He wasn't the, like, the two guys that were out there, like, mainly, it's like there was like one side that rotated and there was one guy who was just out there for so long. I don't know why he was out there that long. I was a super senior and I was kidding about his film. So I don't know why he was out, just being honest, you know. But I watched the film, I go back the next day. I said, yo, coach, I said, 44, I think he's the real deal. And he's like, dude, he's a backup. Don't worry about him. Just start to focus on these two guys. Focus on these two guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm creating, I had a whole thing of notes just from like, if he touches the field, I got to be ready for this, 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 this. And that game, for some reason, played almost every snap. You know what I mean? Played almost every snap. So I was like, thank God, prepare for him.
Yeah.
The coach said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So to see him do everything he's doing, like, I even told him after the game, like, dude, like, you're going to be a freaking beast, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, everyone, you know, they don't see it right now, but, like, I see it. Like, I saw it early, even on film, before I even played him. So, you know, and I still talk to him and stuff before the drive and hitting him up, talk, you know.
Yeah.
He trained out here in Arizona for the Exos.
Okay.
But, you know, for example, like, I feel like I've just been cool to just see guys that I'm like, I called it early. I'm like, oh, that guy's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, even if you know the offensive lineman or tight end, I'm like, he might be good. And then I see he's going in the draft and I'm like, I feel like I'm not taking credit. You know, that's their success, but like, I feel like a, felt like a scout or something.
Yeah, I was going to say honorary.
I'm like, I seen it coming.
Yep.
Seen it coming.
Yeah, if he's there around 27, man, that would be a great addition.
He's awesome.
Man, for sure. I guess sticking with that real quick, any kind of advice you'd give the rookies coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I would say my suggestion is that at least what I did to help me have the season go by fast. Just take it 1 week at a time. I didn't even look at the schedule. I didn't look at our NFLs. I found out who we played the next week.
Okay.
After the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how you, because it's the longest season of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, like, last year I played Georgia in the Peach Bowl, and then, like, the San Francisco game, I played the same defense he came in, like, the fourth quarter, and I was like, dude, I played you in freaking January, and I'm playing you here in, like, December. Yeah, like, what the heck? Like, it's crazy. Like,
yeah.
So, I think just trying to take it just one week at a time.
Okay.
Because it's not like college where you can kind of like look at the schedule. And especially at Ohio State, you kind of have to tell yourself to lock in for these games. But it's okay, we got Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. We got, you know, this random school.
Yeah.
Week 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
So like win. We got Maryland win. Okay, so we really got Penn State. We got Team of North to lock in.
Yep.
Lock in for real. And then maybe we got like Oregon, or we got some like, you know, we got Notre Dame like week 1 or 2. So like, you kind of have like those 3 games you lock in. At this level, every game you have to lock in.
Yeah.
So I think being able to put like, you can't, like, I feel like for me, what I didn't want to do, I wanted to take each individual game as the most important game, not be like, yo, 3 weeks you got the Cowboys. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I imagine you put the Cowboys. Like, what the heck? Like, I wasn't trying to look ahead. I didn't, like, hey, if you start watching, I don't even know who we're playing that game. Like, my family member, like, who are y'all playing it? I don't know.
Look at the schedule.
And I'll tell my family not to tell me who we're.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I only wanted knowledge
for that
of who are these defensive ends.
Gotcha.
What do they have going on? Mm-hmm. And then the next week, boom. Okay, who we got? Cool.
Yeah.
I was the last to find out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even know who we got week. I'm going to find out when we have week 1 after the preseason.
Okay.
You know, because I want to break down all the preseason rushers.
Yep.
I don't care who we have. I guess the only team I should know is who we have the first week of the preseason.
Yeah.
I want to break down that guy. I might only have 2-3 series.
Yeah.
But I want to break down those guys.
Yeah.
Then that's just my routine. I don't need to know we have week 17, okay. 16. So I think doing that allows the week to go by fast, because it's just one team a week. You're not like keeping track and all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, for sure.
It's a small thing.
Yeah.
Most people not like doing that, but
no,
kinda I like it.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it straight at, like, this is what you got to focus on. Don't look ahead. That's
You know?
And so, that can really get people, I think.
Right. Versus you're like, man, like, I've just been. You start to stack up the weeks, and you're like, man, like, I know we play the Eagles week 12, and like I feel like I've played like 20 teams. We still haven't played the Eagles. Now you're kind of keeping track, and you have a calendar in your mind. I never had a calendar in my mind.
Okay.
It's just, who do I have?
Yeah.
You know, and this is my weekly routine to build up to it.
Yeah.
You talked about having a quick turnaround from that Peach Bowl game straight into the first game of the NFL season. You as a rookie didn't only start every single game for the Cardinals, you played every single snap for the Cardinals. How did you prep for that?
I mean, I have to give that credit to the trainers, you know, the trainers and honestly, the nutrition staff and all that. And also, you know, people I used outside for just the wellness and stuff for my body.
Yeah.
Just because, again, just like they just keep you active. Like before you even go out to practice, they help you with the activation. They help you with the stretches, with the heat pads, with whatever, doing the needles and stuff. So just the little, like, the maintenance things to just allow you to keep playing.
Keep going, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
you're going to get the bumps and bruises.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, what Hump would always say is that, you know, one thing he said about me playing, like, all the snap stuff, he was like, it was his joke anytime in the season after a game, like, man, like, my elbow. He'd be like, all you need to do is just, you know, you're young, you just go to sleep, get 8 hours.
Yeah.
You'll be good. And I'd be funny because the next day I would come in on Monday and he'd be like, how you feel? Like, dude, my elbow feels great. Here's how I told you, all you needed was to go to sleep. Like, the night before the game, we drink, like, the Psalm sleep drinks.
Yeah.
So he's like, all you need is a Psalm sleep and some 8 hours and you're good.
That's great.
And it was the truth. I just had a Psalm sleep and went to bed and I felt so I guess that's a benefit also being 22. That definitely plays a role.
Exactly.
I think it plays a role in being able to just feel good.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, switching gears a little bit. Free agency. It's been busy for the Cardinals this time around. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the moves that I know some of them are still being reported, but just kind of seeing what's going on in the landscape, but not only the Cardinals, but everywhere else. I mean, it's busy. It is a busy time right now.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, defense seems like that's the emphasis. Obviously, it sounds like they're bringing in Jonah Williams to be a potential tackle. So just thoughts on how they're navigating things right now.
Yeah, I mean, feels kind of cool in a way to, like, this be a part of my first kind of, you know, time during the free agency.
Yeah.
You know, kind of sidetracked, but it's my first year I did, like, a Madden franchise with guys on the team. And, like, so I'm the GM, right? So, like, now I'm dealing with that. But I'm almost like, yo, like, this is, like, real life, like, Madden franchise.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, I guess, but, you know, I feel like the cool thing is that you're seeing, like, all these top players you're moving around.
Yeah.
But I think on a personal level, it's like, man, like, you're seeing, like, you're dealing with, it's not like college where, like, you know, these are my teammates for the next four years unless they transfer.
Yep.
You know, like, with Jonah, I know he's a longtime Bengal, but now, you know, he's a Cardinal.
Yep.
You know? So I think just, again, first time for that side of you know, the business.
Yep.
You know, I thought me and Hump were going to
keep going.
Rock out until Hump said he wanted to hang it up. Not the case.
Things happen.
You know, so just seeing things switch. But, you know, obviously I know, you know, I feel like the front office that we have, like, I feel like they know what they're doing, you know, and especially even talking to older guys who have been through, like some different guys in the front office.
Yeah.
I said, you know, our staff is, like, top tier. Our guys come from other teams that come here and they're like, dude, your front office, like, the way they operate is, like, top tier.
Okay.
So, I mean, I haven't been looking. I haven't been looking at who all we've signed. Besides Jonah, I saw that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
You know, I look forward to talking to him.
Yeah.
Haven't really been looking. I'll just see, you know, who comes in.
Yeah.
I saw Desmond. I know you're talking about the Desmond.
Yeah.
You know, also a Cincinnati guy.
Yeah.
You know, I knew him from the Bearcats.
Okay.
So I'm kind of finding out. Everybody's finding out. But I kind of look forward to seeing when they come in, when they come to the facility.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Just, and obviously with that report, Desmond Ridder coming to the Cardinals in exchange for Rondale Moore, it looks like. Just how was it playing with him? I know obviously reported, but just the thought of potentially not playing with Rondale Moore now.
Yeah. So, again, I feel like that's kind of like the personal thing where it's like it's kind of different to see like somebody's locker. I thought I would say with Hump, I was like, yo, like, dang, like, that's somebody else's locker now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think the same thing for, you know, for him, you know, for Rondell. It's going to be kind of different, you know, other people's lockers. But again, as time goes on, like,
it's gonna
you know,
happen.
You're going to accept them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't accept. Oh, you're not accepted because you're like, I'm not like, you're not the original team. I'm not like that. But like, in a way, it's like,
yeah.
It's going to be kind of interesting. You know, obviously, you know, I want to keep in contact with him because, you know, he's cool peoples.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, I like to talk about Ohio State and his one college experience he'll only talk about is how he beat Ohio State. You know, I mean, they didn't win out too many other games. But he's going to make sure you know that.
He did, of course.
Yeah, he's pretty much did single-handedly him and, like, this linebacker and this other running back. These three guys single-handedly destroyed Ohio State. I shouldn't have said destroy. That's a bad word to use. Nah, I went to Ohio State. But like, I wasn't on the team, though, but I watched it go down. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one thing I always talk about. But, you know, it would definitely be different without him around, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you guys played Atlanta this year, so you had an opportunity to face off against Ritter. I know he came in halfway through the game, but what did you make of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's very dynamic. You know, he's able to extend a lot of plays, and I think it'll be cool to be able, you know, to get him in here, you know what I mean, to learn more about him, about his style of play. You know, like you said, he came in like the halfway through the game.
Yeah.
You know,
another quarterback I want to ask you about, just I know the excitement with you and Kyler coming in when you got drafted. How was that season? Was it everything you thought it would be working with him?
Oh, yes. I mean, especially like in the Steelers game.
Yeah.
Where there was a couple plays where I was like, and we played the Eagles, where I would just look at Will and I'm like, hey, like, you know, he's probably the only guy who can make a play like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where all of a sudden he's just 30 yards down the field just juking everybody out. And we're nowhere near him. Like, you know, and our coach was like, you know, run. Hey, like, you need to get to the ball.
Yeah.
I'm like, coach, if I catch Kyler, that means he's slow as a mug. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see him out there shaking. I'm like, the defense is catching him.
Yeah.
So, but he's just on his own on an island 30 yards down the field, making everybody miss. Slides. He gets up. Then he flicks the ball to the ref. And I'm like, I just walk up to him. I just high five. Bro, throw like a crazy pass on his back leg as he's falling.
Yep.
I won't even separate the receiver. I'll be like, dude, that was a throw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, with him, like, he makes it fun.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Playing him just makes it fun. Like, every time he gets a pass off, it's always something crazy. And I'm able to be like, you know, I go up to him. That's what I did with CJ at Ohio State. Like, the receivers are always fight. Like with Marvin, like, I celebrated with Marvin a couple times. I'll pick him up. But halftime receivers were 60 yards down the field. I was going all the way down there.
All the way down there.
I ran back 4 yards to CJ.
Yep,
so
exactly.
That's kind of my thing with Kyler is that, like, I'm going to just go to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did your guys' relationship develop, grow, expand as he came back from the ACL injury and you actually got to play with him?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was actually fun to be able to take the things that we talked about with what we wanted to do, like what we wanted to do together, and be able to actually like turn into reality on the field, to be able to actually have those moments where, like, hey, like when I call this play, I'm just about to point out the guy that I want you to get on this option play. I'm going to say, yo, you get him. Just call him out. Talking about this on a FaceTime, and in the game, he's like, yo, Paris, you got him.
Okay.
Me and the linebacker knows I have him. So at this point, he pretty much knows the play. And then I still get him, and then he goes, and he's like, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
You know, so, like, again, he just makes it, like, because he's such a dynamic freak athlete, like, you make the right block, put him in position to be able to do what he wants to do, and then he takes over the rest of the field, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to end it on a positive note. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your foundation, Paris Johnson Foundation. I saw you guys have added some more money, added some more charities you're reaching out to. Just thoughts or just your general, you know, thoughts on running that, continuing to do that. What are some of the new things you're getting into with the community stuff?
Yeah, so we have an event coming up in July. We are partnering with a whole bunch of people right now, and again, once things are completely official, I'll definitely want to share who we're partnering with. But again, I feel like being able to do events out here in Arizona has connected me with so many cool people. Like, I got to talk to Kurt Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Talking about us collaborating our foundations for an event.
Treasure House and stuff.
Yes. Yep, and yep. He's done phenomenal work. And I told him it would be an honor to be able to collaborate, to do things together for, you know, for Phoenix.
Yeah.
And again, I told him just an honor to have his number on my phone. Like, right? That's freaking cool. Like, yeah. You know, he's using my Madden, my Ultimate Team.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? You know, so I told him that. I was like, man, like, your Ultimate Team quarterback. You know, so again, I feel like what this is about, and I kind of remind myself about this a lot, this opportunity I have to play in NFL. Okay, again, this is a game I'm playing as a kid, but this is my dream.
Yeah.
But it's also my job. But what comes with it is a lot of attention, and it comes with a lot of money. And I don't really need all this money. It's not for me. It's for me to put other people in position to be able to have success. It's for me, this $100 for me to go to Chick-fil-A. I don't really spend $100 at Chick-fil-A. But like, you know what I mean? But like, but for example, like, I have a thing where it's like, okay, like whenever I go eat, like a small thing outside my foundation, whenever I go eat, if someone else is hungry, I'm gonna make sure, Aaron Street, I'll make sure that they get the same food as me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's expensive for me to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I'll spend extra money from the eat because my food's gonna be expensive anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just think sometimes what you have as an NFL player, sometimes you don't realize how much more your money or what the opportunities you can bring can influence somebody else that doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn that when you go, like, and you understand that you get to do that when you go down, like, when you go down, like, Brazil.
Yeah.
You go down to South America where the gap for who has money and who doesn't is even larger. And now you're seeing a lot of kids. So now I'm down there, and, like, I give a kid 100 hay ice, right,
mm-hmm.
which is equivalent to $20.
Okay.
And he was asking for, like, 5 hay ice to get something to eat.
Okay.
And I just had the 100s. So I felt like a big ball because it was pretty much at 20, a whole bunch of 20s.
Yeah.
But it's at 100.
Yeah.
So I give him 100, and, like, he's running. She's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, going to, like, I'm going to feed all my brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Man. When you, like, interact with stuff like that, I'm like, dude, like, this is what it's about. It's about me having a chance for me to be able to influence other people's life, right? So being able to do things out here in Phoenix, like, I want to do things different out here in Phoenix. I did in Columbus, Cincinnati, because the needs out here in the Phoenix community will be totally different.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to be able to partner with guys like Kurt Warner. You know what I mean? I want to be able to partner with people who've already done the work here because they know the needs here.
Yeah.
The same way the needs down in Rio and needs here are different.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I feel like I just want to be passionate about helping people. And like I was saying about the attention, for what comes out of attention, I want to be able to, helping people with stuff isn't just about the money, but it's about kind of creating awareness.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's kind of generalized. I feel like everyone deep down has a spirit of trying to help people. You want to see other people happy.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes you're just not aware to certain issues that are going on, and be able to use your platform to build awareness about certain things can get people to come along. Because sometimes what you don't need is money. You might need volunteers.
Yep.
Sometimes you just might need people to vote for something, to fix something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to be able to use the platform with the money and the influence to be able to fund the right things.
Yeah.
To be able to put people in position to have a better life.
That's awesome.
Or, you know, with voting and stuff like that. Or like something cool we did with the Cardinals. I know I'm rambling.
No.
But something cool we did with the Cardinals. So Josh Mariner, our player engagement, the Cardinals, he set up this event for Christmas for all the rookies where we basically spent a couple hundred dollars. And like, it's so cool. And we basically got these families that had a list where they went for Christmas. And it's crazy when you put it in perspective, because people, kids are putting on their list beds,
yeah,
sheets,
groceries,
towels, grocery gift card.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, and then one kid might, you know, a doll, he might have one doll. Like, so you're seeing, like, you're like, what? So, like, being able to get your, like, clothes. When I was a kid, if I got clothes for Christmas, I'd be like, mm-hmm. a polo t-shirt.
Right.
For Christmas.
Socks.
I wanted a video game.
Yeah.
Socks.
Yep.
But the kids, they want this and this, but we're throwing in games and toys and all that stuff too. But we're seeing that, and I'm like, and then like we're there, and like they open the gifts and they check them out. And I remember this kid probably coming over to me, like, probably 12 years old. Again, he had a belt. and socks and a coat. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm gonna wear this all the time. Like, I love this belt. I love this car. I've never said that before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like, this just like made their like, yeah. whole day. Like, how can we as Cardinals, NFL players, contain to do that for a bigger level and just yeah. not just be something that's just outside of our reality because yeah. financially the reality is different. You can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, no, that's just,
I don't know if that totally makes sense. Or not. Sense. You know,
that's such a great mindset to have.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got anything else?
No. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for joining. As always, make sure to follow the podcast at AZ Cards Corner. You can follow Lauren on social media. You can follow me on social media. You can follow this guy on social media, which you're probably already doing because it's Paris Johnson Jr. But with that, guys, keep it locked in the Arizona Sports app, ArizonaSports.com and 98.7. We're going to keep bringing you the free agency madness as it keeps unfolding. And obviously, you'll hear more of Paris as I'm sure the radio is going to really want to hear about this guy. But yeah, with that, guys, thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you next time.